Krishna, my god sister Media asked me to record my remembrances of Montreal, how I joined, for a book that they're planning, if I understand right. Of course, I think I've done that a couple of times over the years, but because Media asked me, and because she's such a wonderful person, so all right, I'll do that here now, and I hope that the devotees may get some inspiration from that, or at least information. I mentioned that I first came in contact with devotees at Expo 67, which was the World Fair in Canada, Montreal. And that was when some devotees were chanting, because they had World Fair, they have every country represented with so many other events going on. So somehow devotees were there. I believe it may have been Hamsa Duda at that time, Prabhu, because I saw a letter from Srila Prabhupada about him singing at Expo 67. So I was walking around and came to this stage event, sort of an amphitheater stage event, and there were Westerners singing something exotic and dressed in exotic clothes. And I was with my father. I asked him what they were, and he said, these are some spiritualist people. And that was sort of it. My real contact started when I first started going to university, and especially in 1969, when I got married, which meant I wasn't just going to university, but I was living downtown. The point being that the area where we were living, which was just the students around the university, is where the temple was, on the corner of Pine Street and Avenue, above Pine's Pizza and Pine's Tavern. So it was a very, very close to the temple. Number one, devotees were often walking down the streets of Montreal, St. Catherine Street, Sherbrooke Street, chanting Hare Krishna, so in a procession. The other is that I remember them often coming to the campus, and the place where they chose to sit down and chant was like right opposite the engineering building where I was studying. So often you could hear them and see them. Who it was, I don't know. Srila Prabhupada was there in 1968 in Montreal for an extended period of time. He was living very close to where I was. I never really saw Prabhupada. But around 1970, I started to read the books. I got a Bhagavad Gita. I occasionally visited the temple, just occasionally. And chanting, I don't think so, but maybe. It wasn't until probably 1972 that I began to seriously chant, read the books that were available. Up until then, Third Canto, Part 1, Srimad Bhagavatam, 6 volumes were available, and then Bhagavad Gita, that was the abridged Bhagavad Gita that we had. So I started to take Krishna consciousness more seriously, as did my wife. We were living together, and we already were vegetarians, and we're now offering our food. Interestingly, there were no deities at that time, but I had this wooden statue of Buddha. So I was offering everything to Lord Buddha. We had a picture of Prabhupada and so on, but that was the deity that we had. And I won't get into all the details, but towards the end of April 1973 is when I moved into the temple. So as I mentioned, it was above Pines Pizza. It was actually earlier a bowling alley, and it was converted. Anyone who's been bowling knows that bowling alleys are, number one, they're of a good size. Number two, they have wonderful parquet floors, except for the places where the balls roll back. But those little gullies were filled up, were covered, and so we had a great place. There was the temple room. Well, you come in, there was a big reception area which also served as the prasadam room. There was a little kitchen to the right, and behind the kitchen there was an even smaller bathroom which had one sink, one toilet, one shower. The shower was sort of makeshift. It wasn't originally there. That was our bathroom. And the temple itself had then then you come into the temple room, which was a good size temple room. And beside the temple room was then the temple president's office. Excuse me, there was the Mataji's ashram, then there was the temple president's office, there was Brahmachari ashram in the back, and then in the front there was also the treasurer, bookkeeper. So the partitions were made of, I forget what it's called, plasterboard, yes. Partitions were made of plasterboard, but they didn't reach all the way to the ceiling. So that means that there was zero privacy. Everyone heard everything that everyone was saying. And we lived in a very simple, very austere lifestyle. We had no possessions. Perhaps we had our toothbrushes, and that was all. We had no dhoti was our own, no kalpan was our own, no kurta was our own. Perhaps we had our own coats, which we do go on Sankirtan. It was, everything just went into the laundry. And when you got up in the morning, there was the clean things in there, and you just pulled things out. And whatever you pulled out, that's what you put on. So at the time that, prior to my joining, Shripati and his wife Irvasi were in charge. Shripati was temple president, and when I used to come, they used to preach. We started to come regularly, and at a certain point, Urvashloka and Vishwakarma Prabhu came, and they took over. That was a really dynamic time and a dynamic duo. Urvashloka and Vishwakarma, they were doing fantastic kirtans, and that was what really, really drew me. So when I moved in, it was a time of many devotees moving in. Keshi Shatra Prabhu came a little after me, Bhartra Hari, Pragosh, Priyabandhu, Priyabhakta, Medya, Lalita. These are, of course, all were initiated names. Maybe I'm forgetting some. Then there were other ladies who came, Sri Kuri. So it was a really prosperous time. We began to distribute books in earnest. When I first came, we were just going out a little in the morning, and sometimes there would be Harinam as well. But we would go out and sell books, we would come back and have lunch, and then we would go door to door. Honestly, that was really miserable, having a big meal at midday and then going back out again, just because it's so we ate a lot. We really ate a lot. Of course, it wasn't any less miserable having this huge big breakfast that we did. But in any case, over a period of time, the switch to devotees doing book distribution full-time on the street took place. And I really loved that. Fortunately or unfortunately, Uttama Shloka Prabhu asked me to do spiritual sky incense. And I did. I did that for about a year and a half or 2 years. It was very successful and did a lot to support the temple. But at a certain point, we just sort of dropped it and went back to selling books. So that time when we joined was, as I said, very dynamic. There were many, many young devotees. Leadership was very good. We were very innocent and very naive, even in a sense. We'd given up everything. Absolute, like I said, besides a toothbrush and your shoes, I can't remember what kind of shoes. And although we ate a lot of prasadam, but prasadam was, you know, we didn't buy, we begged from the market. Same thing, flowers is also what we begged. As I'd mentioned some time ago, you know, for probably until I got to Winnipeg, I think we were just drinking milk, which was a real staple because Prabhupada emphasized it so much. But we just had powdered milk. You just mix water with it. That was what we were drinking. So it was a very blissful life. And we had this vision that Krishna consciousness was going to take over the world very soon.